I had heard about a young man. He in high school was outgoing, was a friend to everyone, was involved in countless activities, was a receiver of multiple senior superlatives, that when people graduate, the best in this or most likely to do that. And he was all over the place. He was a beacon of joy. And people thought that this young man is going places. 2 years later, I had heard that that young man had fallen on hard times. That in his freshman year of college, had become addicted to some drugs, had disappointed his family and his friends, and could no longer be that person that everybody thought that he was. It had gotten so bad that he tried to take his own life. He was not successful. Thank God for that. He had failed in that attempt. But the shell of the boy that went to school, that came home to mom, was not the same. He couldn't interact in the same way. He was quiet. He was reserved. He didn't interact with his friends. He stayed in his room. He was ashamed. All kinds of words that described how he felt. But you know what? God was working a plan. Sometimes we're privileged to see God do amazing things. As a church, we're privileged in ways that we don't even know. Stories behind the stories behind the stories. You see, 2 weeks from today, I think he's going to be here. He was here three or four times as part of our Nicaragua team. At each of those meetings, he admitted that he was here because his mom made him go. He didn't know why he was here. He didn't know why he was going, but he agreed to go. You see, mom brought him because her daughter brought her on another trip. Because when she had gone, her life was changed. And she knew how sad her mom was about her brother. And because this girl went as a friend of somebody else whose life had been changed, brought this girl, who then brought mom, and then mom brought son, and 2 weeks from today he'll be here. We're going to be able to share in a little bit of joy. You know that today he's at our sister church in Kennebunk, that he's messaging me on Facebook about what he's doing and what's happening. And he has a plan to go back and to serve in Nicaragua as a missionary. How does that happen? How does that happen? You see, while we were there, Seth had some great conversations. While we were there, God showed up day after day after day. It couldn't be denied. And you know what? Already in place was him living in Old Orchard Beach. I know I've got friends in the church that's near there. My friend Jeff Mears, who I did ministry with for years at Stroudwater, who he and I play basketball and are really competitive, and he still plays ball and still wants me to go play football with him and basketball with him, and someday I'll do that. But as I was talking with this young man, and we were having a conversation about the life change that he was experiencing, about his call, to come back and to serve. And what would have to happen? I said, well, there's a church right near where you live. I want to get you connected with some friends of mine. I know the pastor. I worked with him. He was in my youth group. He interned with me. I helped him. And now he's got Jeff there. And I said, so I want to get you in touch with Jeff Mears. And he goes, oh, Jeff Mears. He has a brother-in-law named Ben. Yeah, he goes, I play ball with them. I know them. God already knew. God already had a plan. I just got to watch it play out. It started how many years ago? It took how many years to get him to there? And for Seth to get here, and Seth to be there. I mean, I don't understand how big God's plan really is and how intricate it is. But sometimes we get a little glimpse of it. And so 2 weeks from today, the Nicaragua team is going to be here to celebrate. And we'll talk about, we painted things. We'll talk about, we put a roof on things. We'll talk about things that we did. But underlying all those things was spiritual movement beyond what we can even know. Life change. God stepping in. It's absolutely incredible. Along with the team that's coming back to celebrate, we're forming up a team to go to Guatemala. And so they'll be crossing paths. 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a band named Juniper here. They've been at Soul Fest. The guy that plays the drums, percussion for them, was in my youth group. I ministered to him and his family. And his mom and dad were on the trip. And so to help us celebrate, they're going to be here leading worship, a great Christian band. And again, God has woven relationships through all of this. And so what I'm going to ask us as a church is to be preparing for every Sunday, but the Sunday in 2 weeks, with a crossover of mission teams, with the celebrating what God has done, with the band coming in, I want you to consider inviting friends. I want you to consider it being a safe Sunday. It's going to be a good Sunday. There'll be a lot of people here. There'll be a lot of energy. There'll be young people here, but there'll be sinners here. Well, there's always sinners here. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm sorry. There's always sinners here. But we don't necessarily always label this is Sinner Sunday. And not then 2 weeks say, hey, welcome to Sinner Sunday. We're glad you're here. You know, step on up. Yeah, if you've done this sin, this is your spot. If you've done this sin, we'll get like a 12-ring circus of sin. No, that's not the plan for that particular day. But on that day there, I believe we're all going to see God moments. We're going to see some powerful ways that God stepped in.
Well, can I step in?
Sure.
I just want to, instead of saying about the Holy Spirit, and I just got to tell a little story. It has to do with Sinner Sunday, but yeah, a few weeks ago, a lady in this church, I'm not going to name names, when you see the glory of heaven.
I don't know if this is going to work. Jonathan, can you turn this one on for Randy?
I think it's more important that we get recognition in heaven than on earth. So, but it was a lady in this church came up to me. She said, Reedy, she says, I've been thinking about this guy. She says, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit put him on my heart. And I just think I need to pray for him. But she started to describe where he lives, and I named a name. She says, yeah, that's him. And she says, I've been praying for him. And so I went to work, and I told him that this lady had been praying for him. And he just gave me a strange look. And last week, this same lady, I said I'd been praying for this. I told this guy you're praying for him. She says, oh, she says, I wrote a letter for him. And I said, really? She says, read it, and if you decide it's appropriate, give it to him. And I'm like, I know it's appropriate, but she asked me to read it, so I will. And you know, just talked about, I don't know where you are spiritually, but I've been praying for you. I've been called to pray for you, and I don't know why, but I have been, and you and your wife. And so on Monday, I gave him the letter. So later in the week, I went down to where he works, and He said, Randy, he said, I got to share something with you. I said, okay. And he said, you know that letter you gave me? Yeah. I said, well, he said, about a little over a month ago, he said, I had a medical scare and thought I might have skin cancer. And he said, just yesterday, he said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, it's not skin cancer, and we can take care of it. He says, and I shared the letter with my wife, and she's crying. She says, how could this lady have known? And I said, it's the Holy Spirit. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, it's the Holy Spirit. And, of course, he can't totally understand, but as the missions team works where they go, you can work right in your community if you listen to the Holy Spirit. And I just want to share this because it's so encouraging just to think that, you know, if we're willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and act, we can make changes right here in our community. So, and for this man with three or four of his coworkers around to be willing to give this testimony, I thought, God is really working here. It's all because of one lady listened to the Lord. So.
Thank you. I love segues, and I love, well, segue is not the little kind you ride around now, but segues where something goes from here to there and you get pulled in together. And there's a couple of those that will happen today. That's one of them. The whole emphasis of going on mission on the outside always appears that it's a faraway mission. But I can tell you from experience, the biggest impact is home. The biggest impact is back here. The biggest impact is life change and understanding God in different ways. And the church that sends, I think it's blessed in powerful ways. And we get changed in powerful ways. And we need to be open for the local. It's the harder work. It's easy to let that kind of thought pass us by and not do something. That's somebody else's job. That's somebody else's deal. That's somebody else's ministry. No, it's not. The local mission is our mission. So we're in Romans. In 2 weeks, we're still going to be in Romans. I wanted to be invite a friend Sunday. We can do name tags that Sunday. Somebody said we should do a name tag Sunday. That would be a great day to wear name tags because there'll be a lot of strangers here. And there's a lot of strangers here today. We don't always know everybody's first name. And so sometimes if you've seen somebody time and time again, you don't want to say, so what's your name? Because we should know their name. But I forget. Others forget. And since we're all not named Bob, there's a couple Bobs in here, but not everybody's named Bob. We don't call everybody Bob. Right? And so we can do name tags in two Sundays, but I want you to be praying about it. Inviting somebody. We're just going to be celebrating. It's just going to be a great, great Sunday. But we're in Romans. And last Sunday night, Jeff got ahead of me in that he did the Roman road. And the Roman road is something we're going to talk about on that day. The Roman road is what is laid out in the book of Romans. The path to becoming a Christian. You see, the reason I've wanted to study Romans is it identifies where exactly we are in a lot of ways. But Paul delivers slices of the gospel through the whole letter. And so the Roman road is where he pulls these verses, we pull these verses out of Romans, and it leads people to where Jesus is. And so we're going to study that day. The Roman road to salvation will be presented on that day. And so I just love how God weaves His plan along with us. And so we'll be praying about it. Invite somebody. Don't be afraid. They desperately need it. Do you understand? They will die without it. Most people will respond positively to being asked. They just need to be asked. It is very scary. It is hard sometimes. But I tell you what, the rewards are beyond what you can imagine. But let's start here. Romans 3:23. Before we talk about Romans 4, let's step back to last week. Since all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. That is step one in the Roman road. That is the very first verse of the Roman road. And I love this church. I love the rawness. I love the spontaneity. I love that our imperfections are visible. We cannot play pretend to be more than we are or think more highly of ourselves than we ought in order to rightfully explain the gospel. The truth is, we all desperately need it. Continually, we fall short. Continually, we're challenged. That doesn't mean always, or doesn't mean always. There are times when we get things right. Or I should say, there's times when God does right things despite us. We strive to be Christ-like. We strive to get closer to Him, to know Him more. We must purposefully study. We must identify shortcomings. We must be mindful of the real realities of us. Not in a way that limits what we do. Not in a way that we beat ourselves up. Not in a way that it makes us hide in a room. We could all be crying, you know, I'm hideous, look away. I'm unclean, stand back. I'm not worthy, get away from me. We all have reason for that, but God offered us a cleansing, offered us real forgiveness. We are new in Him. We are no longer slaves to those things. You have to understand that that is a past part of us, even though it's still all around us and still it comes out of us. God continues to love us and forgive us and cleanse us. There is a process that we're all continually on. We must continue to strive to know Jesus more. We should never be content. How do we do this? I say you got to have faith. You got to have faith. The challenge with what Paul is doing in Romans is he keeps harping back to the fact that we are all sinners. You, me, we are all sinners. And how does that help us feel good about ourselves? It doesn't. I look in the mirror and I'm reminded I'm getting older. I don't want to necessarily think of myself as getting older, but I am. Just a little. My body reminds me. My memory reminds me, or the lack of memory reminds me that I'm getting older. But when I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, who's that guy? When it comes to reflecting on who we really are, we have to have a serious amount of faith. We do. Nobody knows you better than you. You can play pretend with a lot of people. Sometimes we play pretend even with ourselves, right? We try to imagine that we aren't as bad as we know that we are. But there's good news in this. There's gospel in this. I love Bill and the way that he shares. And today, he preached the whole message. And what did he say? This was like before. Or how did you say it, Bill? I don't mind starting over again because that's what happened when I got saved. He summarized my whole message in that one moment. And I almost said, okay, next, you know, we're done here. Because that is the reality, is we get to start over. And then we get to start over. And then we get to start over. So what is faith? What is the faith of Abraham? Let me read this to you. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, humanly speaking, has found? Has he obtained a favored standing? For if Abraham was justified, that is, acquitted from the guilt of his sins by works, those things he did that were good, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed in, trusted, relied on God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness, right living, right standing with God. So Abraham's faith, Abraham believed in, trusted, relied on God. His faith was not in himself, for he knew himself. His faith was solely in the Heavenly Father, fully in understanding that it is all on God's righteousness that we stand, right living, right standing, is based on his righteousness and not ours. And so we must have Abraham's faith. And that is, we must believe as Abraham did. So how did Abraham believe? He was asked to take his son up onto the mountain. He was asked to sacrifice his son on that mountain. And that's harsh. I cannot imagine if I was asked to sacrifice one of my daughters. I wouldn't wish that on anybody here, to have to choose somebody that they love and say, for your faith to be solid, you must sacrifice them. Can you imagine? On top of that, there was a promise that God had made to Abraham that through this son, he was going to raise up a people. How does this make any sense at all? It's not logical. It would be harsh. It would be cruel. It doesn't make any sense at all to have to sacrifice your beloved son. To know that for the promises to be kept, you had to have enough faith to honor God, even in this request. And Abraham had that much faith in God, that God would provide. And we know the story. Up on the mountain, he's taking his son. Son says, hey, Dad, we got the wood, we got the altar, we got everything we need except for we didn't bring a sacrifice. What gives? Can you imagine how white Dad's face would have been? as his son realized, it's supposed to be me. I mean, this is Bible stuff. This is hard. This is harsh. How can there be such a cruel God to require this? Well, the rest of the story is God did provide a sacrifice. Caught in the thicket was the animal to be sacrificed. He had provided that. Abraham didn't know that. We had communion today. We celebrated what our Heavenly Father did. You see, He already knew the plan that His Son would have to be marched up the mountain that would help prepare, gather the wood, do all that it took to bring everything to a head so that a sacrifice would happen. The faith of Abraham gave us a glimpse into the heart of God, into the willingness of Jesus to do what it was going to take for salvation. Do we take it for granted? Do we have that kind of faith? I pray that we do. I'm not going to pray for the hard tests that will show us that we do. I'm not going to pray that. I'm going to pray that we discover it in small ways, that we learn from what we read in the Bible. I don't want any of you to have to be tested in that way. And I'm sorry to say, though, that many of us are and have been. You see, when we get glimpses of a young man that life was changed, that in a bad way through addictions, through circumstance, to be a shell of himself and to see a countenance change, to see a joy, to see a revelation, to see his lights sparkle again, to see mom in tears. As he confesses to the team his story and where he's at. I wish that there was 140 of us sitting in that circle that day. There was 20 plus of us sitting in that circle that day. But to share with you the pure joy in mom, to see her son come back to life, to have purpose again, to have meaning again, to be outspoken and outgoing and engaging in all the things that he kind of was, only more. There's a funny story, because the night before, I had asked the team, I challenged the team, listen, we're seeing God show up everywhere. We see him here, 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 and here, and here, and here. I want you to be really brave tonight. You, in your prayer to God, challenge him. Say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me like this. God, if you're really here, do this. This young man's mom said, well, God, if this is real, I feel like you're moving us as a team. You're moving my heart. If you're real, really move me. And I might have told you the story. Really move me. The next night, while we're in a team meeting, we were all moved as the whole island was moved in an earthquake. It literally, we all moved. Literally, we were there and then we're all sideways, and then we're all feeling like, holy cow, I'm really sick. I can't even get oriented. There was no sound at all. There was no reference because everything was moving together that this was happening. I only knew what was going on because I fell against a pole, and I was like this, and once I was against something, I could see the movement, and it was as if the island became unattached and was floating, and it was so disorienting. It was powerful, but it was silent. There was no rumbling. There was no, like you see in the movies, there was none of that. It was just this really weird thing. We all felt it together, and then it was done, and we all kind of talked about it. She was quiet. She was quiet. You know, we get back, and I might have told this story to some of you or all of you. She posted to our page that she'd been thinking about that and thinking about that and thinking about that and prayed to God, God, was that really the sign? The next morning she wakes up, news, earthquake in Maine. Okay, maybe it really was the sign. She gets home from work. She's still wrestling with God about this, right? And turns to the TV. Earthquake in Maine, right? And the next day, and the next day. We end up with a total of, was it 6 or 7 or 8 earthquakes over a series of time in the state of Maine? So I finally posted to the team Facebook page, and I said, hey, get the lesson already. And she types back in big letters, I get it. I believe. God works in strange ways. He works in strange ways, but we're along for the ride. Be careful what you ask for. Been there. All right, I'm supposed to read something, aren't I? Romans 4:4-8. Talking about grace. Because that's what this all is. And this is, it's all grace. Now, when you work a job, do your wages come as a gift or as compensation for your work? It is most certainly not a gift. You are only paid what you have earned. So for the person who does not work, but instead trust in the one who makes the ungodly right, his faith is counted for him as righteousness. There's some logic in there, right? We think that we're working for this. I do this, God does that. I do this, God does that. This is the job. I'm getting compensated for this. The more I do, the more treasures I have in heaven. The more I do, the more righteous I am. No. That is not the way it works. The one who makes the ungodly right, we got to trust in him. If we trust in him and we have that kind of faith, then our faith is counted as righteousness. We make this way too hard. We need to do less of that and more on the faith side of things. The verse continues. Oh, I went too far. I don't know where I am. Close enough. I can. All right. Continuing Romans 4:4-8. I finally caught up to myself. It says this in verse 6. Remember the psalm where David speaks about the benefits that come to the person whom God credits with righteousness apart from works. He said, blessed are those whose wrongs have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the person whose sin the Lord will not take into account. I can tell you the joy of mom hearing confession from son. I can tell you the joy of the team when we see sins and hurt being covered. I can tell you the joy of salvation granted on faith. And that's really where I want us to be. Now, Paul's gospel plea, it is through all of Romans. And we're going to study it through the rest of this chapter. And again, in 2 weeks, we're going to do the Roman road. But I want you to know that there's so much more in here for you. Individually, I want to challenge you. I want you to go back. Start with chapter 1. And look again at chapter 2. And again at chapter 3. Read through chapter 4. As you do, just digest it. Read it. If something stands out, make a note to the side. This verse. Read some more. This verse. Read some more. This verse. After you've gone through that discipline of seeing what verse stands out to you, just reflect on it. Say the prayer, God, show me what it is that you want me to see. I know the Spirit will do what the Spirit does. I know there's something rich outside of what I've been able to share on a Sunday morning, outside of what you might get in a homework class, that's something that God has specific for you. Do you have enough faith to dare to be that open and that vulnerable? Let me challenge you, church. Don't wait for Sunday morning for us to unpackage this. If I do anything in this series, I want you to know that God is available at the most intimate levels for all of us. You see, we have a challenge in front of us this year. And it's the first of challenges that'll lead us to the next challenge and the next challenge. And we've got a 3-year vision and a 7-year vision and an 18-year vision. But until we understand intimately God's way of preparing us in an honest way, those challenges are beyond us. I do not want to set this church up to fail. We have to be spiritually ready. We have to be ready collectively, because if we're going to be a frontline church, newsflash, we are a frontline church. We are marching into battle. This church has always been a church that was pressing boundaries. We're going to double down. I was watching a Little House on the Prairie episode. I don't know why. It wasn't a Hallmark Channel. I was waiting for the next show, which was going to be a Western, and it was like the last shot. I don't even know the story, but there was the town, and all the buildings were destroyed. I don't know why the buildings were destroyed. All the buildings were destroyed, and somebody was coming across to into the town, but all the people in the town were arm in arm, marching out, singing gleefully, "Onward, Christian soldiers." I'm thinking, town is destroyed, people coming in. I don't get the picture here, but I got that they were all unified and singing, "Onward, Christian soldier." And I said, I don't want my church destroyed, but I want us as a church to be singing, "Onward, Christian soldier." I want us to understand collectively, there is a real battle. But how do we have to be in order to be ready for that? You got to have the faith of Abraham. You have to have that relationship where you can say, "Hey, God, show me something today. When he shows you something, you got to do something with it. You got to do something with it. Romans 3, 10 through 18. Good stuff. I've been talking too much. Let me read the last part of Romans 3, 10 through 18. Please read all of it. Please dig into all of this. At the end of this, and why is this important? I'll tell you in a minute. Their feet raced to violence and bloodshed, talking about the world. Destruction and trouble line the roads of their lives. The world around us is like that. And they've never taken the road to peace. You will never see the fear of God in their eyes. I want you to understand that the world around us is racing to die. It's not as if they're passively... There they are. But it's as if they're racing to die and don't even know it. They're doubling down on the garbage they're putting in. Their anger is growing. Their frustration is growing. Their confusion is growing. We have to be ready for this. So please, 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 let's be ready as a church. So what kind of faith we have to have? We need to be believing in a God that will provide the perfect sacrifice like Abraham did. We have to be believing that he actually did. And Jesus was and is the perfect sacrifice. Grace is not a covering. It is a result of giving all to God as a result of believing him in him. Our faith needs to be like Abraham. The grace, that blanket of God loving us and saving us, that is a precious gift. Do we recognize that we are a part of the all have sinned group? We are. We are imperfect. We are unlikely heroes. We are people asked to do more than we can do on our own. We are fearful that our realness will make us unable to be a testimony. Bill summed it up beautifully, didn't he? And we get to start over and over and over. Can we accept the grace that God offers through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus? Please. Accept that grace. I'm really thankful for you, this church, the folks that have brought us to this point through the years in leadership, the folks that have sacrificed, those that are here today, that invested whole lives here. New families that are coming in and saying, hey, there's something going on. God wants us to do something. This is an amazing mix of talents and passions and gifts. I appreciate Randy sharing today, his passion for people here. We all have gifts. We all have divine purpose. Understanding that God, in His salvation gift to us, has also designed good works for us to do. And collectively, what we can accomplish is so amazing and powerful. My hope and prayer is that we all get as right as we can. We're human. We can only go so far. We need to understand that and rely on His righteousness to pull us that next little bit. Be open, be honest, be reflective on the Bible, and be prayerful. That is my hope for you today. Let's pray. God, thank you for all that you've done to reveal your heart to us. Lord, let us have faith like Abraham. Let us rely on grace and knowing that it's righteousness through Jesus that allows us to do anything And Lord, prepare us. Shield us, guard us. But Lord, compel us to march forward, to march onward into this world that's desperate for your love. Give us that kind of faith. I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.